relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
Remember when men were men and the Democrats weren't lunatics? It's time to make America great again with our nation's most beloved legal immigrant, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Thank you kindly, thank you kindly. Did you know what day it is today? I don't mean Friday, I don't mean Ask Dr. G Anything. I don't mean Second Amendment Friday. What day is it? It's Purple Heart Day. It's really disturbing, isn't it, friends, how, given the political climate, the insanity of not just the last 9 weeks, but the last 4 years, that it's so easy to miss important anniversaries. The anniversary of the moonshot, the anniversary of the moon landing, and even regular special days like Purple Heart Day. So let's stop for a moment. Let's just shut everything else out. And let me share with you something. The roots of the Purple Heart trace back to 1782 and to George Washington himself. Washington devised an award called the Badge of Military Merit, which was to be given in recognition of, quote, any singularly meritorious action, and which was to be, quote, a figure of a heart in purple cloth or silk edged with narrow lace or binding, and affixed to the uniform coat above the left breast. Though it fell into disuse after the Revolution, the Purple Heart was revived in 1932 as an award to recognize those who had received wounds from combat with the enemy. It is unclear why Washington selected the heart for his award, but it is altogether appropriate for the award for two reasons. First, the heart's biological function of circulating blood draws attention to and fits well with the Purple Heart's purpose of recognizing the spilling of blood in service to one's country. Second, the heart shape draws attention to what ultimately underpins the willingness to sacrifice for one's country, namely love. Since ancient times, the heart has been associated with love. Despite the superficial romantic connotations that are often applied to it in English, the concept of love goes far deeper. Saint Augustine argued that love is the force that binds all human societies together, and that shared love is what makes political communities possible. And at its core, love entails self-sacrifice. As Jesus Christ told his disciples, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. In this sense, the Purple Heart is about love. Love of country, of comrades, of fellow citizens of all humanity. It represents the highest form of self-giving. As General Douglas MacArthur said in his Duty, Honor, Country speech, "The soldier, above all other men, is required to practice the greatest act of religious training, sacrifice. I am immensely proud of my service and sacrifice, and am proud to be wearing the oldest decoration in the U.S. military." The words I have just shared with you are from a man who has been wounded in battle more than once. His name is Colonel Professor Daniel Gade. Frequent guest on this show, a man severely wounded in combat. And his article appeared in the Heritage Foundation's Daily Signal, entitled, "On Purple Heart Day, How a Medal Rewards Acts of Love." Let's post it right now, Eric, on our Twitter and Facebook pages. On this day, let's not forget what day it is. And let's share these words from one who knows. Because, as we have said so many times on this show, our fuel is love. Theirs is hate. And that's why we will win. Hatred exemplified by the man who is potentially the Democrat candidate for president, a man who is a bigot and is corrupt and is not fit for office. We are committed for the next 87 days to remind the world and remind America who that man is. Let's listen to just a handful of examples. Let's go down the line, Shad. Let's start with what Joe Biden thinks about you if you are black. Audio cut 7.
You got more questions, but I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
If you're not voting for me, you are black, because all black people have to do the same thing, and I take you for granted because I'm a racist, and my name is Joe Biden. What does he think of the difference between black Americans and Latino Americans? This is the latest from Joe Biden, audio cut 8.
What you all know, but most people don't know, unlike the African American community, with notable exceptions, the Latino community is an incredibly diverse community with incredibly different attitudes about different things.
This community is diverse. This community is not. That statement in and of itself is the statement of a bigot. To say that one community has one characteristic and the other has a different characteristic is the essence of what it means to be a racist. And he hasn't apologized. He's issued a statement through his campaign, which is not an apology. And then others have given him political cover. This is James Clyburn, one of the most senior Democrats in the House of Representatives, video cut 5, trying to explain away the racism of Joe Biden. Eric, play video cut 5.
You know, the word diverse, you know, as you know me real well, you know, I'm sort of a stickler for the word being what it is. And what he was talking about is whether or not what continents. You know, when you start talking about Latino Americans, you're talking about not just various communities and countries, you're even talking about various continents. The ethnicity, the diversity of the ethnicity. Most African Americans in this country come from either Caribbean or from Africa, or in fact, the roots are basically in Africa. So all he was talking about was the diversity of not just the communities, but also the continent.
What you all know, but most people don't know, unlike the African-American community, with notable exceptions, the Latino community is an incredibly diverse community with incredibly different attitudes about different things.
Sorry? Attitudes. So it's not geography. So Clyburn is a liar. A man, I mean, it's quite funny. I mean, you have to laugh, don't you? A man who says words mean things to me that are real. Like the fact you call the president elected by 63 million Americans a dictator, an authoritarian, and a Mussolini. Clyburn, you're risible. You're beneath contempt, and you're also a liar. Another wonderful comment from Biden about a black journalist who interviewed him. He thinks if you ask him a tough question, you must be a drug addict. Cut nine.
Have you taken a cognitive
test? No, I haven't taken a test. Why the hell would I take a test? Come on, man. That's like saying you, before you got in this program, if you take a test where you're taking cocaine or not, what do you think, huh? Are you a junkie?
Are you a junkie? That's what he thinks of the black interviewer. And then the last one, a classic from the pre-vice president days. Cut 10.
He's going to let the big banks once again write their own rules. Unchain Wall Street. They're going to put you all back in chains.
That's what he thinks of you if you're a black American or a Hispanic. He puts you in a category, he demeans you, and he takes you for granted. Don't vote for him, because he's a racist, corrupt, senile old man. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Stay with us, why don't you?
Side of the U.S. Constitution, America First.
When you hear the word malnutrition, it's kind of heavy, isn't it? What comes to mind? For me, I'm, you know, child of the 80s. I always think of Ethiopia. Remember the starvation, the crises, the Live Aid, the big charity events. But do you think of children in our hemisphere? Do you think of people not far from our southern border as suffering from malnutrition? Well, they are. There's a country called Haiti. And in Haiti, there is the highest level of child malnutrition in the world. It's not in Sudan. It's not in the Sahara region of North Africa. It's in Haiti. There are children right now who are looking for rotten scraps of food on garbage dumps in that benighted country. That's just wrong. And I'm so grateful. We've been doing this for less than a week, and you've already donated almost $10,000 to our annual Food for the Poor campaign. God bless you all. If you haven't done so already, if you want to be a modern missionary, please donate today. Go to my website, sebgorka.com. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com. Click on the banner for emergency food relief and make a donation today. As little as $37. You can't even get a meal for two for $37. And you will feed a child three times a day for 6 months. That's God's work. You can call them if you prefer on 855-330-HOPE. That's 855-330-4673. Or just with a few clicks of a mouse from the comfort of your home, go to sebgorka.com. If you've weathered the coronavirus well, if you've got that check from the government and you didn't need it to survive, how about making a donation today in any amount? Go to sebgorka.com and click on the emergency food relief banner. I thank you, and everyone you are helping, especially the hungry children. Well, thank you. I am delighted, as ever, to have with us, to really explain the importance of what you are doing, the Executive Vice President of Food for the Poor, Angel Aloma. Welcome back to America First.
Thank you, Dr. Gorka. I'm happy to be here to spread the word, because as you mentioned, Haiti, already about 40 to 60% of the country is unemployed. Already about that same percentage is living under $2 a day by going out and selling what they can in the street or by making something and selling it. And now with the coronavirus, unfortunately, they have not even been able to do that. So it's gone from malnutrition to starvation. And that's the part that's really risky, because they actually die from that. Sometimes we have malnutrition nutritional clinics that they can go to, but when they're too far gone, and some of them live very far from where we have them, and they can't even afford a bus fare or anything like that. And I have seen these children. They're 2 years old and they weigh 9 pounds. And I met a young lady who was 15 years old and she weighed 41 pounds.
Oh my gosh.
And my 6-year-old grandson weighed a pound more than she did. And it breaks your heart, because I can't imagine as a grandfather that any child of mine would come and be crying for food and not being able to give them something. Not only his hunger, but the pain of the mother to have to hear that and to have to say, maybe tomorrow,
the whole idea of going to bed hungry, that your children have to go to bed and their stomachs are empty, is just a crushing thought.
Absolutely. Some of them, they put on something tight around their waist to try to kill the hunger pangs, but nothing works at that level. The mothers will boil water with leaves in it, but nothing really works other than food. And those leaves and the hot water have no nutritional value, so they're still deteriorating.
Can you explain to us how it is? It seems magical. It seems like the story of the miracle of the fish and the loaves. How is it that you can turn $37 into 6 months of food 3 times a day for a child in one of the countries you're working in? Explain the mechanics of how Food for the Poor does this missionary work.
Well, when we have to purchase food, we can do that for with 10 cents. We can purchase, we can ship, and we can distribute. So it's right to the plate of the child. But we also get donated food. So, that donated food is even less than that. So that's how we manage to do the meals for 6 months and still be able to feed that child and to save their lives. That's the part that, your listeners have responded beautifully in the last few days. And I think it's because that. What a great feeling it is to be able to think that a child's life is in your hands and that you can save that life. Because that's what it's done. With $37, that's one. And five is $185. And whoever can make the sacrificial gift for 10, for 370, whatever you can give, it's saving lives. That's the most important thing I can tell you.
And can you just, you did this so beautifully last year, because this is, a comment we get now and again, and it's reasonable, I understand it. Why is it in a period when we have so many unemployed in America, we're coming out slowly from the Chinese virus, why should our listeners help people in other countries and hungry children who aren't Americans? Explain why it's just such a godly mission.
Because we are all children of God, and the record here is something which inspires me in the United States, because here the U.S. population is the most. I have lived in 4 countries, and I have never seen anything even close to the philanthropic tradition in this country. I mean, as long as people hear of it, it doesn't matter if it's Banda Aceh, it doesn't matter if it's Haiti after the earthquake, it doesn't matter where it is, whether local or foreign, when people hear of this, their hearts are touched and they give. It is truly a Christian response, and it's beautiful to see it, because, Jesus talked about feeding his sheep. These are the hungriest sheep right now that need their help, and I know that they'll give it. That's the consolation for me, that I can sleep at night knowing that the American public will respond.
Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, said, "Come unto me, the little children." The little children were the most important, and you can follow that. You can fulfill that message today, thanks to the good offices of what Angel and his colleagues are doing at Food for the Poor. Make a difference today. You are truly in a position to save lives, and save the lives of little children. Let's do it together. Please go today to my website, sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, and click on the emergency food relief banner and make a donation in any amount, but as much as you possibly can comfortably do, because the more you donate, the more children you will be helping, the more lives you will be saving. Don't hesitate. You can call them on 855-330-HOPE. That's 855-330-4673. Be a modern missionary from the comfort of your armchair at home. What a blessing to be able to help these children. S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com. Click on the emergency food relief banner. Make a difference today. I thank you. Food for the Poor thanks you. And the children you are helping, thank you. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Next, a very special guest with us to talk about the challenge of the next 87 days. The Trump campaign has a special offer just for you. President Trump really wants you to have a signed 2020 Make America Great Again hat. He wants to make sure the lucky winner is one of his top supporters. Be sure to enter soon, because this is an opportunity you don't want to miss. This offer is only going to a very select group of supporters, and you're one of them. All you have to do is text Gorka to 88022 today for your chance to win a signed 2020 Make America Great Again hat and own a piece of history. Yes, signed by the president. Again, that's G-O-R-K-A to 88022 to enter to win this contest and join President Trump in the fight to keep America great for four more years. This was paid for by Donald J. Trump for President, Inc. Families hanging white flags outside their doors as an indication they've run out of food. For families in Guatemala and the other countries Food for the Poor serves, COVID-19 is more than just a medical crisis. Because access to food has been cut off by the restrictions of the pandemic, even families accustomed to working hard to take care of their children today hear their children beg them for something to eat. Informal markets are shut down. Curfews are in place. Crops can't be planted, and parents can't even earn the couple of dollars a day they relied on to provide for their children. Today, I'm partnering with Food for the Poor and you to get emergency food relief into the hands of the most vulnerable, the children. Your one-time gift of $111 provides three children emergency food relief for the next 6 months. A one-time gift of $185 feeds five children for 6 months. Make your most generous gift today by calling 855-330-4673. That's 855-330-HOPE. Or you can give online at sebgorka.com. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A.com, by clicking the red emergency food relief banner. Make a difference for a child at sebgorka.com.
I know Sebastian well. Listen to him. He's with us.
As you're riding that surfboard across the cresting waves, we're listening to Hawaii 5-0. Sorry, YouTube. We're not allowed to share the music with you. That's who YouTube is. But we are back. This is America First with me, Sebastian Gorka, with a special, special guest, an old friend who hasn't been on the show for a while. But that's because he's been in a bunker somewhere. He is a driven man. He said, I'm going to write a book and get it out before the election. And I said, yeah, right, Evan. And guess what? He did. He's Evan Sayet, comedian, author, an all-around good guy. Evan, welcome back to America First.
Thanks for having me back, Seb. It's good to see you again.
So your new book is The Woke Supremacy. I've read it. You sent it to me in an early form. Congratulations. First things first, how long did it take for you to write your third book?
Well, look, it's hard to know, because in real time, because if I had a job or I was allowed out of the house, if there was anything open in Las Vegas that I could have gone and done, I would have, but I was locked here. So 24/7, it took me, I don't know, however long the lockdown has been. How long has it been? 6 months? 5 months?
Yep, pretty much. And why did you write this book?
Look, from the very beginning, when I first got involved in the conservative world, I recognized we had plenty of people who were outstanding at chronicling the wrongs of the left. And there's a lot to chronicle. And they do so in ways that are undeniable and digestible and easily read and understood. But we had very few people who explained the why. And when we did have people who explained the why, it often tended to be in very academic terms, philosophical and academic terms that were not easily digestible. You know, I'm thinking Alan Bloom's The Closing of the American Mind was absolutely brilliant, but not easy. And as much as I adore Thomas Sowell, I don't know how much he is, for the pulp reader, for the mainstream reader. And so from the very beginning, I decided that I would attempt to bridge this gap between the accessible, but also the philosophical. And that's what this book does. Just like my other book, The Kindergarten of Eden, How the Modern Liberal Thinks did for modern liberals, this does for the woke.
See, you don't even have to plug his stuff. He plugs it himself. That's how professional he is. I have his books written down here in front of me, Apocalypse Now and Kindergarten of Evil, How the Modern Liberal Thinks. But we're talking about his new book. He's Evan Syett. It's available now, is it? Is it available?
You know what? It was supposed to drop today. We had some technical difficulties, so we're looking at Monday. So people, put it on your calendar. You know, put wrap a string around your finger. Nothing wrong with good publicity.
Put it on your calendar. Yes, indeed, Evan. It is a really good précis. It's like the cliff notes of the radicalization of the left and how we got here. Pick for us, in the end of this first segment we have with you, and he's staying for another one, so it's okay, relax. Explain to us, perhaps, what is the morsel, what is the episode, what is the event or the stream of thought that is most often missed in our understanding or the general people's understanding of how we got to Black Lives Matter, Antifa, AOC, and Bernie Sanders? What is the thing that needs to be remembered more than others?
Okay, but before you even get to anything that follows, when people talk about socialism, the mistake they make is thinking that it's an ideology when it's not. It's a system of governance and an organizing system, a globalist system that numerous ideologies have embraced. Never any one of them successfully, never one of them creating a good world or a perfect world of their imaginations. But Hitlerism wasn't Stalinism, wasn't Leninism, wasn't Maoism, wasn't Maduroism, and democratic socialism isn't any of those things either, ideologically. But the system itself is so deeply flawed, even if the intentions were great. And by the way, everybody, you know, you think of John Lennon's song Imagine, and he's imagining the perfect world. But you know what? So did Hitler imagine the perfect world of his imagination. So did Lenin. So did Stalin. Right? Stalin didn't imagine a world of permanent confinement to gulags and mental institutions. He imagined the world after those things had accomplished their goal. Hitler didn't dream of a world with gas chambers and ovens. He dreamt of the world after the gas chambers and ovens had accomplished their purpose.
Yeah. This for me is really, look, I thought I knew it all because my parents were kids under fascist occupation. Then they were adults under communist tyranny. My father was arrested, tortured, and imprisoned. I thought I knew it all. But then in the last week and after reading the early version of your book, it really just occurred to me, dawned on me, there's a litmus test for all of this. If any politician, if any party, if any ideology promises you utopia, promises you paradise, guess what? Buy more ammunition because they are totalitarians. It doesn't matter what they wrap it up in, whether they wrap it up in the Green New Steel or anything else. They are totalitarians and it will end in dictatorship, millions of dead and tens of millions suffering. If they promise you paradise, buy more ammunition. We're talking to Evan Syett right now. It's The Woke Supremacy. Follow him on Twitter, Evan Syett. That's E-V-A-N-S-A-Y-E-T. We will be back with Evan in a moment. But first, This is a message to all of you out there who are suffering with pain today. If you really haven't found the remedy, then I've got something for you. It's called Relief Factor. Tens of thousands of Americans are taking it right now and finding their liberation. Listen to Alicia from California. I'm a grocery store worker and have been working doubles during the coronavirus shutdown. At 52, my two bad knees are not getting a rest. I literally limp to and from bed. 2 days into Relief Factor and the pain has decreased substantially. So thankful for this amazing product. Find out if it could work for you like it works for Alicia and me. Don't wait another day. Go to relieffactor.com, order your 3-week quick starter pack, and you will know by the end of those 3 weeks if it works for you like it works for me and Alicia. Do it today. $19.95. Relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com.
Dr. G is in the house on America First.
We have a Hawaiian theme for this half of the show. We go from Lieutenant Garrett, Hawaii 5-0, to Island Hoppers, the coolest helicopter known to man, TC Rick, and Magnum PI. So sorry if you can't hear it on YouTube. Just go and listen to it after the show. One of the greatest theme tunes, one of the greatest TV shows out there. And it's, come on, it's Tom Selleck. By the way, if you haven't done so already, this weekend is the time to exploit me mercilessly and my friendship to Mike Lindell. Yes, that great American success story from crackhead to CEO, the inventor of My Pillow. He sold 51 million pillows that never lose their shape, never get hot, have a 10-year warranty. I rest my head on them every night, as does the president. Why don't you have one? Use my name and get up to 50% off if you go to mypillow.com. Call them 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468, mypillow.com. Drop my name, G-O-R-K-A, and Mike will give you the biggest discounts ever. It's the woke supremacy. We have to fight it. The book is written by Evan Syatt, comedian, all-round good guy. Follow him on Twitter, Evan Syatt, S-A-Y-E-T. In the break, you were stealing your own Thunder Man. Don't do it. I know you're a stand-up comic, but you've got to do it in front of our millions of listeners and viewers. So we said those who promise you paradise are the totalitarians. What do you say is the special, unique American approach to the reality here on Earth that we can create?
Well, you'll notice that when we talk about America, we don't promise perfection. We know that's an impossibility on this earth. It's the entire point of humanity. But what we do say is make America great again. Not perfect if you vote for us. Make America great again. We say America is exceptional. Not perfect, not utopian, exceptional. Right. Even the founding fathers who did use the word perfect understood that we could make it a more perfect union, which by definition means they recognized it wasn't utopia. So we get it. And it's something actually, we were talking just a little bit about Thomas Sowell earlier, that he points out in the difference between how the left and the right thinks, is that we look to ameliorate situations. We look to make situations better, whereas they look to cure, they're gonna end poverty with their brilliant new program, the one-size-fits-all program, whereas we seek to lessen poverty.
Exactly. So we'll talk about what you do for a living. Let's talk about comedy. Don't you think one of the reasons that there's so much backlash of late, that it seems as if in certain parts of the world, the insanity may be overstepping the mark, is because they've allowed the political correctness, the censorious nature, to invade things like comedy? There's this British Jewish comic called Konstantin Kissin, who is famous because he went to a comedy club and he was asked to sign a contract before he went on stage to say none of his jokes will hurt anybody's feelings. That's a joke! I mean, that's the joke in itself!
Well, look, one of the problems is that irony is such a central part of good comedy, but there's nothing ironic when it's literal. The entire mindset of liberalism, modern liberalism, not true liberalism, I'm a true liberal, lowercase l, but the woke, is that they can't, for example, they're the totalitarians there. But what do they call us? Totalitarians and authoritarians. I mean, everything, if you remember my first book, The Kindergarten of Eden, How the Modern Liberal Thinks, they are 180 degrees from right on everything. Well, a perfect joke spins reality 180 degrees. Well, there's no place to spin it when there's no irony left.
Yes, indeed. Well, how are you feeling? I know you were driven. You wrote this book incredibly quickly. It's out Monday. It's The Woke Supremacy. How are you feeling as we stand today, 87 days before the election? Who's winning the culture war, Evan?
Oh, I'm deeply concerned. Even if we win the election, and even if some, what we need to happen in order for there to be a peaceful transition, a continuing of power after that, is an utter repudiation of the left. Anything short of that, the left's not going to accept. And if they, God forbid, win, they are going to close out the revolution. You know, they are going to, they've already used the power of the federal government with the FBI and weaponized it against us, the IRS and weaponized it against us. The only reason they didn't do more was because they were so sure that Hillary was going to have 8 more years to do it that there was no need to turn the heat up and have the frogs jump.
Correct.
But now
Correct.
They're not going to make that mistake again.
No.
So I'm deeply concerned. On the other hand, I just don't see how anybody votes for what's going on in Portland.
No, stop it. Stop it. You're being logical, Evan. You know better than that. It's not about logic. It's about emotions. It's about feels. The book is The Woke Supremacy. In the last minute and a half we have with you, we know what's going to happen if they win. Disaster, anarchy, and probably violence more than we've even seen so far in the last 9 weeks. Curious, what does Evan Syatt think is going to happen if the good guys win? If everybody listening to this show, watching us on YouTube, does their part, volunteers for the Trump campaign, gets out there, knocks on doors, makes calls for the president, and we win, are they just going to melt like the snowflakes that they are, or is it going to be even crazier, Evan?
Well, it's certainly going to make some of them crazier. The true believers are not going to change. But what will happen, I believe, is that the prostitutes, the people who stick their fingers in the wind, like Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, I don't think they're the woke. I don't think they're radical leftists. I think they're prostitutes who saw the wind was blowing left, and so they're... If that party gets decimated, if they get repudiated, they'll have to reject the left. But that's just the beginning. The culture war is not just in government. It's in the cultural institutions. And so a victory would simply be the equivalent of landing at Normandy. All right. Essential. Absolutely essential. But they're still hand-to-hand battles to take back the schools, to take back the universities, media, news, entertainment, social communications. And these are things that they're not going to give up easily. So even then, I do think there's going to be a need for, I so hesitate to say because it's so, but I do think there's going to be bloodshed.
So this is why you need to read his book, The Woke Supremacy, his third book. You need to follow him, Evan Syatt, E-V-A-N-S-A-Y-E-T, because that is the analogy. Even if we win, God willing, on November 3rd, it's just landing on the beaches at Normandy. We've still got the Battle of the Bulge. We've still got the hedgerows to fight through, and it's going to be a fight. Why? Because they have executed a long march through the institutions, and it's up to us, all of you, to be part of this political battle. God bless you, Evan. Keep doing what you do. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Do you have a cell phone? I know you have a cell phone, but who's it with? Who's your provider? Because if it's one of the big guys, guess what? At the end of every month, they take a portion of your bill, and they use it to fund things like Planned Parenthood, Democrat candidates, and even gun control. Don't let them. Join the only Christian conservative cell phone company today, Patriot Mobile, which is rated number one in customer service in the United States. Call their number, 972-PATRIOT. It's a U.S.-based team. They have a dependable nationwide 4G LTE network. Get free activation. Get a free gift. Switch today. And they are the company that supports your rights. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, the Second Amendment, the right to life. Join them today, patriotmobile.com/GORKA. Don't fund the bad guys. patriotmobile.com/Gorka. Do it today.
Portions of America First are brought to you by Food for the Poor.
Well, you heard the president's promises. He kept the list relatively short. Bit longer than 2016, but in Ohio at that Whirlpool plant, let's just read them again. Defeat COVID-19, first promise. Then, number two, rise from the current adversity of this invisible enemy to be more prosperous and resilient than ever. That sounds like MAGA Mark 2 to me. Three, make America the premier medical manufacturer. Absolutely. We cannot be held hostage to any other country, especially communist China. Third, fourth, bring pharmaceutical and medical supply chains to the United States and end our reliance on China. Fifth, bring back American jobs and factories using every tool, including tariffs, trade wars. I like trade wars better. It's just a little bit more robust. And lastly, this is really one of the reasons he got elected, uphold America's commitment to our workers. That's how we became the greatest nation on God's earth. So that, now you have it. Now you've got your six promises, the objectives of the second Trump administration, if we do our part and get him reelected. Have you volunteered? Are you doing your part? We all have a role to play. Because what is the obverse? What is the other side promising you? Defunding the police. Opening our borders. You heard Biden. He said, not one more inch of wall will be built if he's president. The Green New Steel, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, mandating that you don't get to fly. Oh, and beef is bad. And if your house doesn't measure up to environmental standards, we get to rebuild it. Roberto, what is his name? He calls himself Beto, but he's not. He's Robert O'Rourke, who will be the anti-Second Amendment czar in a Biden administration. An administration that is run by a man who clearly has very serious health issues. That's what you will be promised. We cannot let it happen. Be part of the solution. Volunteer today. Go to trumptalk.gop. Make sure that we continue to make America great again, because no matter how young or old you are, from 18 to 88, this will be the most important election in your life. We'll end with the words of the president.
And to those who would try to impose socialism on the United States, we again deliver a very simple message. America will never be a socialist country.